Okay, so if you will take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs. Go to the second chapter is where we'll start. We are going to start a discussion. We're going to take our discussion of Proverbs in a new direction. We're going to discuss a major theme it's in the first nine chapters especially of Proverbs. You'll notice on the screen that I have called this Dame Wisdom and Madam Folly Introduction. Then I also subtitled The Major Metaphor of Proverbs. What is Proverbs all about? Well, this is these two women or female figures are a major vehicle by which the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, is communicating his message. The choice that we all face. Are we going to be foolish or are we going to be wise? Okay, so Dame Wisdom and Madam Folly, they represent this. I got their names from another preacher. I listed him in the down in the footnote there. And I like it because it helps you to remember this concept. So Proverbs personifies wisdom and folly as two different women. There are at least two directions one can take for this kind of study. You can make a direct application to a male-female relationships. Of course, that's part of what wisdom and folly is all about. But we can also make extended applications to gain a real understanding of wisdom and folly using these metaphors and what ultimately is Proverbs trying to teach us. Okay, so this really gets to the heart of the message of Proverbs. I'm not quite sure how many lessons we're going to have on this, but we're going to introduce this. So, the women sections of Proverbs 1 to 9 is what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to list for you, all right, the sections Madam Folly Alone. Now, you notice in your notes, I've given you the blanks, all right, and I figured out how to put the blank on the screen, and then we'll talk about it rather than just give you the answer. So let's look at chapter 2 and verse 16 to 19. Some of these are lengthier sections, so I won't read the whole thing. But look at verses 16 to 19. The whole goal of wisdom is to deliver you from the strange woman, verse 16, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth, that forgets the covenant of her God, for her house sinks down to death and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So this is the first mention of Madam Folly in the book of Proverbs, and I call this the flattering stranger. The flattering stranger, where she's the adulteress who flatters with her words. All right, and notice she's also called the strange woman. We'll come back to that concept in just a little bit. All right, then over to chapter 5 is the next one. Chapter 5, and this one is of course the whole chapter. So I'm not sure that I'll read the whole thing. But I'll go the first few verses. My son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion, and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol, the grave. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. All right, so here, this chapter, I call this the deceptive stranger. The deceptive stranger. All right, and then the last one where Madam Folly is alone is chapter 6 and verse 20 to 35. So, he starts off, my son, observe the command of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Down to verse 24, these commandments are to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? And he goes on. All right, so this one I call the destructive stranger. Oops, sorry, I didn't put that up for you. The destructive stranger. All right, before I move on to Dame Wisdom Alone, any comments or questions about what I've read so far? We're just doing the basics right now, so I don't know. Debbie? They're just descriptions of the same person or the same. Okay, so we're representing foolishness as Madam Folly. And I want you to notice that here we have these passages, and it's all talking about this woman of foolishness. And they have quite, I mean, you read through those passages, and I've given you the references, they have quite descriptive, or Solomon has quite a descriptive teaching about each one of those. So and I'm trying to sum it up with one word, but of course there's a lot of words you could use to describe the characteristics of Madam Folly. All right. So then the next one is Dame Wisdom Alone. The first one is actually in chapter 1. And so we'll go back to chapter 1, and it's verse 20 to 23. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. There's a warning here also. Down to verse 33. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Okay, so this is the woman of hope, is what I call this. The woman of hope. All right, then over to chapter 3. And if you want to stop me, I'm just going to rattle on. But if you want to stop me and ask a question, please feel free. Chapter 3, and beginning in verse 13, we have again the wise woman. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her hand, in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. In her ways, her ways are pleasant ways, and all her ways are peace. All right, and it goes on through verse 18 there. She is the tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. So you notice that all of this is using the feminine pronoun. So we take this to be a picture of the wise woman. And in this passage, she is the woman of blessing, the woman of blessing. And again, I'm just summing this up. Chapter 4 and verse 5 is the next one. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. And so here the woman of honor is what I summarize this passage with. Prize her, she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. All right, I think one more. This one is the major chapter on the wise woman, Dame Wisdom, Dame Wisdom. So this is chapter eight. And in this whole chapter, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but in the whole chapter, wisdom is personified. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the height, she beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates at the opening to the city. At the entrance of the door, she cries out, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. So I'll stop reading there. And this is the woman of supreme value. The woman of supreme value. All right. I have one more set here. And this is the both women contrasted. So chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, and then the section 5 through 27. So, my son, keep my words, chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live. And my teaching is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your heart, on your fingers. Write them on the table of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from the adulteress and the foreigner who flatters with her words. Now that's wisdom. Verse 5, for at the window of my house I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. Passing through the streets near her corner, he takes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, in the darkness, and behold, a woman comes to meet him. Dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart, she is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. Now let's go all the way to the end. Verse 22, suddenly he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, and as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. All right, so we contrast this, these two women, the woman of life versus the woman of death. The woman of life versus the woman of death. All right, so one more contrast. Chapter 9, this is the end of this whole section. Chapter 1 through 9 of Proverbs is an introductory section, but we see over and over again this metaphor of women. Okay, the wise woman, the foolish woman. Okay, so wisdom's invitation, verse 9, 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She calls from the tops of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks wisdom, understanding, she says, come, eat of my food, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Okay, so she's inviting him. Now look down to verse 13. The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house or on a seat by the high place of the city, calling to those who pass by for making their paths straight. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet. The bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So you have almost exactly the same scenario for both Madam Folly and Dame Wisdom in this passage. And this contrast is the way of wisdom versus the way of folly. All right? Okay, so we've run through all of that. I've just been rattling on. I need a sip of coffee, so I'm going to pause and hope somebody will ask me a question. Okay, Tola.
That means this section B, the Bible passages there, were they really talking of a woman, or the Bible passages were talking about wisdom?
Okay, so we are taught, the main topic is wisdom, but he uses the women as an illustration. So if we take it down to a very literal interpretation, you have a young man who's being addressed by the book of Proverbs. Solomon keeps saying, my son, listen to my words. He'll refer to his son all the time. Now listen to my words. So the son goes out into the world. He meets different kinds of women. Some women are not godly, and they're going to lead him down a path of destruction. So that's one option. Then other women are godly. They're serving the Lord. They're in a place where righteousness is done, and they worship God, and they are worthy of following. Now, which one would the father, a wise father, want his son to choose? Well, obviously the wise woman. So this is the same picture if we think about life. Here we are the sun, we're being sent out into the world, and we have a choice. You know, a kid grows up in a Christian home, for example, and he's taught how to live, and he's usually made pretty much how to live. I mean, sometimes there's not total obedience, but there's, you know, parents don't do that. They direct his life. At a certain point, he goes out on his own. Now he has a choice to make. And some sons choose foolishness. They go to the bar. They go to the parties. They go to the dens of iniquity, as we call them. Right? They'll do things like that, and they will make very bad choices in their life. That's following this foolish woman. Okay? And so, but other sons take the lesson of their father, and they say, I'm going to choose wisdom, and I go to church, or I involve myself in righteous behavior. I do those kinds of things. I stay away from wicked places. I've made a choice. That's the son who's following wisdom, the woman wisdom, right? That's the idea. All right, so, Gordon?
And like you're using the word sons.
Yes.
But it applies to...
And it applies to daughters as well. That's right, yes. We're using it generically. Okay.
Yes.
All right, Addie had a question, I think.
I just told that.
Oh, she got it for you. Okay,
yes,
okay.
I got that question for my kids.
Right.
Wisdom and foolishness could be like the kind of like interpreted being a woman.
So that's right.
I have the difficulty interpreting
that,
but I guess.
Right, but you see, if you think about what he's doing with Proverbs, it's addressed to the son. So Solomon's writing the Proverbs for his son. My son, here's the two paths in life, and he gives warnings, but he uses the illustration of women. I guess young men are interested in girls. I guess they are. Okay. And so so there comes a point. There's a point at which for boys, girls have fleas. Now that's just the way it is, right? Don't want to have anything to do with them. And suddenly you wake up and say, they're not so bad, right? I sort of remember that coming realization somewhere around grade 6 or something. They weren't quite as flea as they used to be. Anyway, okay. So there's a choice to make though. You know, who are you going to associate with? Who are you going to hang out with? And you go to school. You know, you even got a young person in high school, say. There's kids there that are not wise to hang out with. They're not going down a good path. They're in trouble at school all the time. You know, why hang out with them? Okay, the wisdom does not hang out with them. And the wise son doesn't hang out with them. So that's the idea. That's what Proverbs is putting this metaphor out there. Okay, Marilyn had a question too.
The counterpart could be addressed to daughters.
Yes.
Foolish men.
That's right. Now, there's lots of foolish men in the world too. That's right. Okay, that's right. But Solomon is using this picture because he's writing it to his son. So that's just the way it is. All right. But you can apply it equally both ways. All right. Any other questions or comments so far?
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe you're addressing to the son because Bible does not really recognize women.
Well, it's a different. Okay, so it's a different culture. Obviously, and certainly we have to recognize that. But the lesson is equally applicable. And so we can take it in a generic way. And, I mean, language has been that way for a long time. I think, okay, Marlene, did you want to say something?
Well, this is written when he's older, isn't it? Like the lessons he learned, not when
yes.
Solomon was young.
Yes, he would be at least in middle age by this point. And he's got a young son who he's raising, and he's wanting him to make a choice.
No, like he would have experienced the wrong in order to get that wisdom?
Well, not certain that. See, Solomon's folly, the unfortunate thing is Solomon did have, he ended up foolish at the end. And so that came in his older age. So most people think Proverbs was composed or collected, written, whatever, before that period of his life. Then Ecclesiastes was last. And there you can see he's very cynical. And he's looking at the world and he comes down to the conclusion. What is the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God and keep his commandments. And so he realizes that all of the things he pursued weren't always as good as he thought they were. But the book of Proverbs is devoted to the subject of wisdom. And there is a sense, of course, that wisdom is you know, sort of a universal concept. It doesn't have to be a Bible concept. So you read in other literature for, you know, secular writers have written about wisdom. And you'll see themes in secular writers that are similar to what is written in Proverbs. But of course, Proverbs is always bringing into account towards God. So that is the difference between Proverbs and other wisdom. All right, so let's move on here now. Is there, Crystal.
So say a son was a believer, mm-hmm. and then he kind of fell by the wayside mm-hmm. and led an ungodly life.
Yes.
And then he died mm-hmm. during that period where he was not in, living a godly life.
Yes.
Is he still saved?
Okay, so that's a big question that Proverbs doesn't address. Proverbs is writing to the person who's making the choice, right? Where they are naive. Notice both women appeal. If you look at that last one, verse 4 of chapter 9. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. So that's wisdom saying that. And then if you look down to verse 16, here's Madam Folly. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. So both, the choice is to the person who is not yet experienced. The naive, the simple person. So Proverbs is about that. Now the question that you're asking is more a New Testament question. And a cop-out kind of answer is only God knows. Okay, only God knows. Now, there is always an opportunity for repentance. The question is, if somebody made some kind of Christian profession and then walked away from it for a long period of time, did he really have a true Christian profession? It's hard to say. I give no confidence. I would have no confidence in that. Now, it's possible, but it would really trouble me. Now, it's one thing for a person to get upset with God. I knew of a Christian who was seemingly very zealous and very devoted and said all the right things. But then he got away from the Lord and got into the world. And then something happened and he repented and he came back. Well, that would seem to be the norm if someone is truly a believer. They may get into the world, but they're not going to stay there. Okay, but if they're not a believer and they stay in the world and they stay there for years and years and God does nothing to them, then I don't have a lot of confidence. So my answer is I don't know.
But then again, it says you don't lose your salvation.
Right, but do they really have it to start with? That's the question. Okay, so that's taking us away from Proverbs. So let's not get off into that question. Okay, I don't want any more questions on that question. Okay, so let's go over to Proverbs. Debbie, you're trying to say something about Proverbs? Well, in the end of his days, it's possible. But the thing is, he sort of seems to come back in the book of Ecclesiastes. So I don't know. We're not gonna don't get me off my script here. Get me all rattled. Okay. All right. So now we're going to Madam Polly's character. We're gonna contrast their characters, and I am gonna put these verses on the screen, or at least portions of them. So, I'm going to see if you can come up with my word. Okay? So, let me change. Oh, I have a quote here from one of the commentaries. Both the way of wisdom and the way of folly are personified by women. This would be especially relevant in light of the father-to-son instruction which is given in Proverbs. If there's one thing a father should teach his son, it is the kind of woman to pursue and the kind of woman to avoid. Dame Wisdom and Madam Folly are literary tools to teach the young man a lesson on two levels, the literal and the metaphorical. So that's, again, that summarizes what I just said in answer to some of those questions. So Madam Folly's character, what is she? Okay, so here's chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. To deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant to her God. And then 6 to 29 to 35. So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is hungry, but when he is found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all the substance of his house. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. For jealousy enrages the man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be satisfied, though you give him many gifts. All right, and then this one is 7:19-20. This is the woman speaking. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. At the full moon, he will come home. All right, so she is an what?
Adulteress,
that's right. That's the picture of Madame Folly. She is an adulteress. Now, if we think, if we apply this to foolishness, and we talk about the way of foolishness, how would the way of foolishness resemble adultery? Yes, Colin?
It's unfaithfulness to the way of wisdom.
Okay, unfaithfulness to the way of wisdom, unfaithfulness to God, ultimately, right? So that is how the metaphor is being used. All right, so the next one, she is two things in this. So here's my verses. These ones we looked at already, but this one might be a little harder. I have bolded a couple of thoughts. So verse 17 of chapter 2, she leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Okay, so that is the first term. And the second one is verse 16, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words. So, what is he saying here? She is she forgets the covenant of her God. What would that make her?
Careless.
Pardon me?
Careless.
Anybody else have a word?
Unfaithful.
Unfaithful. Okay. All right. I'll give you my word in a second. What about the second one? This one might be a little bit... Actually, I probably should have left that word off because it is a little hard to draw this out of here. All right, let me talk about what the strange woman means. That term is a term that is equal to a foreign woman. She suggests paganism. A stranger is a pagan rather than having real faith in God. And so we're going to call this godless and immoral. But the main emphasis here is on the godlessness, the ungodliness. Okay, so wisdom or folly is ungodly. Yes, Debbie.
I always that first verse. Mm-hmm. I always think it's significant that she did at one time know God or had the opportunity to, because she left the covenant.
Well, you're thinking about the Israel, though, right? So we're talking about in the context of Israelites. They're all in covenant with God, right?
Oh.
So they're not necessarily, like, we don't want to read New Testament ideas into the Old Testament.
Well, she's at least exposed to the
teachings. She's exposed to the teachings, yes. Yeah. And she will say, I've paid my vow. She has religion. She's been to the temple and I'm clean. I've paid my vows. I'm good. Right? All she cares about is getting along in life. And, you know, she does the rules to make herself, you know, conform to the rules, but then she can live however she wants. That's her attitude. Yes, Rob?
Would it be right to say that, because given the culture of Israel at that time, that she was one of those, perhaps a Jewish lady, but she was intermixing with the Canaanite type of gods and things like that?
Well, it could be, but it's certainly the Canaanite type of lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's... And that's the illustration that's laid before Israel all the time. You know, follow God or follow, you know, immorality. Okay, so next one. See if this one's a little easier. All right, I just have two verses here. The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. Okay, you might not get my word, but you'll get something out of that. And then that's the first word. And then the second one is she does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. Okay. All right. So what are the two words you think for this?
Boisterous.
Okay. She thinks that's the first one. All right. That's close. That's close to what I have, so.
Obnoxious.
Obnoxious. Okay, well, that's not what I was looking at in this verse, but anybody else have something on that? Yeah, I'll give you my words. I don't want to spend the guessing games here because I know that you can't read my mind. She is senseless and simple. I thought I had unstable there. I don't know why I have simple, but I guess she is simple. She does not ponder the path of life. She's not thinking deeply. She's not thinking beyond tomorrow. Okay. All right, Rob.
That reminds me of the way that verse is written and what character she has reminds me of the New Testament where people are mocking the second coming of Christ. Oh,
right.
Where is his coming?
Yeah.
They're talking about that forever. You know?
Yeah.
That sort
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. Now, I want you to know my blanks are not inspired scripture. Okay, so you may think his words are really dumb. Well, they might be. Okay. All right, next one. This is Proverbs 30, verse 20. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wrong. Okay, what is this one? Pardon me?
Ungrateful.
Pardon me?
Okay. Ignorant.
Ignorant. No. Pardon me? Self-deceived? Okay, here's the word I gave you. Shameless. I've done no evil. Seemingly no conscience about what's wrong. All right, so then now we're on Dame Wisdom's character. So, wisdom, on the other hand, the commentator says, is personified as a virgin whom the wise son should pursue, with whom he should seek a wholesome yet intimate relationship. While a young man should avoid Madam Folly, he should pursue wisdom as he would the woman who would be his bride. So, I'll read these verses and then we'll try for the blank. She is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire compares with her. And then chapter 4, 6 to 8. Do not forsake her, she will guard you, love her, she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom and with all your acquiring get understanding. Prize her, she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. So what would you say? She is what?
Priceless.
Priceless, okay, that's a good one. I just put valuable. I think priceless is better. Valuable or priceless. Okay. All right, so the next one. Worthy of what? All right, so here's just the one verse. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend. I have a little comment from the commentator here on this one. The Hebrew word rendered sister here is used in the Song of Songs with the sense of lover. And it seems to have that nuance here as well. All right. So what is she worthy of? What is Dame Wisdom worthy of in terms of a relationship?
Godly.
Pardon me?
Like in a godly way.
Yes. A godly, but there's something. Think about what you want a young man to have with a godly young woman.
Permanent
and intimate. All right. Well, I just put deep personal relationship, but that's basically the idea. All right. So what we want is a commitment, a deep commitment to one another. All right. That's on a literal level. Okay. That's what you want. Now, ideally, all of our wives are absolutely priceless and wise. Ideally, the problem is they're sinners too. Right? And so are we. So that brings in complications in relationships. But we're talking about an ideal here, right? And when we're talking about the choice between wisdom and folly, we're talking about an ideal. We're not talking about reality. So what? But the ideal is something we should pursue. So we should pursue wisdom in our personal lives so that we can be the right kind of husband or wife and the right kind of friend and the right kind of worker and everything. Everything about life, all right? So worthy of deep personal relationship. Okay, next one. She is, and this is contrasted to Folly's godlessness. Now, I'm going to give a bunch of verses here, and this one is going to require a little thinking. Okay, it's not exactly what you're going to expect by what I've given you already on the screen. Okay, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Okay, think about that, what that word is saying. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Okay, and these are all from these woman passages, right? And then here's this one, chapter 4. Do not forsake her, she will guard you. Love her, she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Right? And then, she's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. And the last one, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up. And the skies drip with dew. Now this is dew, and this is contrasted to Folly's godliness. But this is a characteristic of the wise woman. So what do you think these verses, what picture are they painting of wisdom here?
Graceful, holy.
Graceful, holy. All right. Well, that's true.
Godly.
Okay, godly, that's what I expected you to say. That's not exactly what I mean, though.
Honorable.
Honorable? Okay, so Rob is closest with godly, but I'll give you what I have here. Godlike. Okay, so wisdom, this is, goes beyond, in the description of wisdom, the choice before the young man, is basically a choice between God and the devil. So wisdom is personified as this perfect woman. Who is, and, she, and it says there in that, like for example, she can, where is my, he who listens to me shall live securely and be, will be at ease from the dread of evil. And then it says, she will, she is a tree of life. And then the last one, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. So this is God-like. Wisdom is God-like here. Is the idea. Alright. And so when you pursue wisdom, you're pursuing God. That, I think, is the picture that I want you to see here. The folly, you're not, I mean, you are pursuing the devil in a way, but that's not the, you're just pursuing rebellion. You're pursuing, the evil way. But when, if you're pursuing wisdom, you're pursuing God. So I guess that's the picture I want you to see in that. Alright, any comments or questions so far? We're done. I got to the end of the blanks, haven't I?
Yeah, I would say, wisdom, like you say, it's a choice. You have to choose to pursue that.
Yes.
But if you just follow your natural inclinations, that's fine.
Okay, yeah, so that's a good point. She says, it is a choice. You have to decide to follow wisdom. But if you follow your natural inclinations, that's folly. Because the flesh will lead you astray. So, you have that problem within yourself. All right, now, the other thing that I want to note here. So we're presenting this as, you've got a young man. This is a picture. Is a choice to be made. All right, so that's great if you're a young person. And I'm starting out in life, and I'm going to make a choice, and I'm going to follow God. And then I live a Christian life, and I follow God. Now, what about those of us who aren't there? We're older. The choices have come, we've made bad choices. Okay, the Bible always tells us there's grace with God. Okay, so we can come to God. He will accept us. He'll clean us up. There's pictures of that in the prophets. They'll talk about Israel as a woman who has been unfaithful to her husband. And the husband is God. Israel is a woman. And so she gets herself into all kinds of trouble. And then God says to her, I will come and I will wash you. I will clean you up. I'll set you back. I'll clothe you. I'll set you back on the right path. And that picture is always, all the way throughout the Bible. Your past is not the consideration. It's your present. Today, are you going to choose wisdom or are you going to choose folly? And go on that path. Cullen.
Yeah, I was thinking of something similar to those lines because these characters are kind of presented in this third person perspective as like a friend to have, but it's important to remember that like the choices that we make, make us wise or make us foolish.
That's right.
And so we're joining when we make Proverbs has a lot to say about what Madame Polly does. And like, if you look at the individual things, they don't seem related, but they're all tied together in this one character. And
yes.
When we make those foolish choices, we are being that character. You know,
that's right. That's exactly the idea. So he's saying that if we make the foolish choices, it's like we are walking along with that foolish woman. We've made a choice. And even, see, as you're walking with God, you still have temptations. And there's things in your life, they sort of creep into your life, you don't even realize it. You've made your life a little easier for yourself, and in certain ways you've provided a way for yourself to be foolish in a way. And maybe there's some disorder in your life somewhere. Okay? And that is a reflection of foolishness. If you were wise, you would take steps to correct that. To clean up your life in certain ways. And so again, that same picture. There's a choice before you. Which way are you going to go? And suddenly you realize, hey, I've got a mess here. So how am I going to fix this? I won't fix it by pursuing more foolishness. I have to start making some wise decisions, step by step. It may not be cleaned up overnight, but today, one step closer, and walking with God, doing what God wants me to do. And we find if we walk with God, there is blessing. And you find a peace and joy. And so that's the thing that's laid out before us. All right, on the conclusion, a couple of things that we can say. There's many applications you can make. Number one, single men should literally be seeking godly women. Okay, that's a very basic application of Proverbs. Okay, that's not the main application. And I think all women should be seeking to become godly women. Can't be godlike, but you can be godly. Okay? As well as the men should be seeking to become wise men. But all of us need to respond to the invitation of wisdom, become intimately acquainted with her, study the Proverbs, study the Bible, think not only about doctrine, but also about life. And in my own notes I put, doctrine without life is useless. It is partaking of the woman folly. It is not simply, don't just read the Bible and study the Bible so that you know all the facts. And you can be an expert and you can win religious arguments. You know, if you can know all the facts and be lost. I'm reading a book about application, and the guy used an illustration of somebody who he met who claimed to be an atheist. And they were in a discussion about religion, and somebody made a comment that said, oh, well, Christians believe this. And the guy turned around and says, no, the atheist, no, you don't understand. This is what Christians believe. And he laid out orthodox doctrine. He knew all the right words. He knew the doctrine. He knew the teaching. He knew the language. And he didn't believe, is what it says. So what is important is to have that life, that commitment to God. It's not just knowing the right things, but it is committing your heart to God. That's the whole objective of all this. All right, so it's time to quit. Let's pray and we'll close. Our Father, thank you for this time. We're introducing these contrasting pictures in the book of Proverbs. And Lord, I pray that as we study it further, it will help impact our lives for you to make wise choices in our own life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.